Get mixed up.
Oh, do that every week.
Oh, that's the one. All right. I've got to turn myself on. There you go, my little red thing. That's it. Thank you. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Let's try again. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen. How's that?
This morning, before I came here, I went to our own church back home. I like to be in Rita the Greeter. I like to meet the people, you know. It's just, I've done it for forever. And standing there, just as we was about to leave, a couple turned up. And sitting there just now, the Lord reminded me, do you know, I've seen some wonderful things in church. Some sudden things. That's what I wanted to just... For example, this couple turned up, the man and the wife had been sort of hanging around church and made some sort of decision. And the man had a drink problem. And one day I preached and summed it up by speaking about the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If not... And I'm building up slowly. This guy comes running from the back of the church. I want to be in it. Gave his life to Christ. What are we now? 6-8 years on? He's still going on with God. Another time, I was preaching. I've might have told this story before. And this happened a few times. And all of a sudden, this woman took off running around the church, screaming. Yeah! I'm preaching, mine. In the middle of my preaching. And off she goes. I stop her. What's going on with you? I had asthma, and the Lord said to me, if I run, he would heal me. Well, what's happened? I'm healed. And she has been sent. There was another time where, again, my wife's to blame for this one. There was a lady in our church who couldn't get a breakthrough in a certain area. And my wife said to her, I'm persuaded if you run, God will open the door for you. And she just took off. Another one, screaming in the middle of church. I mean, this is church we're talking about. And 2 days, week, something like that, she got that breakthrough that she couldn't get. What I'm trying to say to you, I don't want you all running and screaming, well, you can do, but all I'm trying to say to you is this, that I think the danger is we come to church passive. We just need to, you know, we're there, we're good Christian people, we're going to sit, we're going to listen, and God's going to, if he wants to, because he can, because he's God. And somehow or another, we're not involved. Well, hopefully today I'm going to tell you a story about a woman who got involved. Now, this is a message I love to preach. I heard someone, who knows Kenneth Hagin? I know Kenneth Hagin's grandson, Craig, the other day was at camp meeting and he said this. He said, this is a message my grandfather used to love to preach. So I've heard him preach it again and again. And the thing is, the reason for that is it's a message I love to preach. And of course, because you've got a church, you can't preach the same thing over and over and over again. So I worked it out, sat there just now. If I preach 50 times a year, 5 years, 250 times, so you could roll it out about every 250 times, you know? So this is one that I love to preach. It's a woman with the issue of blood. The reason why I want to preach that is because we've all got issues. Don't look at me like that. We're also spiritual, not me, Pastor. We've all got issues. We've all got things. May not be the same, but we've all got a condition. This gospel, this message crops up in all three gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. And each one has a little kind of edge to it. The danger is you don't follow through sometimes. You read a story and, I don't know, it takes you another 6 weeks to come back to the story and you miss it. It's worth sitting down reading all three together and get all these little nuances, all these little twists and bits that add to it. So we're going to go, where are we going to read it from? We'll read it from Mark. Mark chapter 5, and we start at verse 25. And the story goes like this. Jesus is on his way to the ruler of the synagogue's house, Jairus. And in Mark chapter 5 verse 23 it says this. Jairus has got hold of Jesus. My daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and live. I mean, this is an urgent trip. It weren't like she's got a toothache and can you just come and work this out. It says she's on the point of death. And when you read elsewhere, she does actually die. Jesus raises her up. So at the point of death, Jesus said, yeah, come on, man, I'm coming. I'm with you. Off they go. That's fine. And they read on. It says this, verse 24. Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I like the word thronged. Pressed, pushed against, jostled, crowded. So Jesus is kind of like, don't you think it's really funny sometimes? Like someone comes out of court or something, and all these reporters, or politicians, especially politicians coming out of court, sounds familiar, shouting at them, what's going to be, and everyone wants to get some of it. Multiply that. Jesus is the miracle worker. Everybody is kind of like now squeezing in. No selfies, by the way, me and Jesus. Yeah, everybody's just squeezing in because they want to get close. Trouble is, too many people get close to Jesus, but they don't know why they've got close, or they don't make a demand. And we'll come to that. Because in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20, it says this. Suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. As I say, the Gospels, these three Gospels now give us a few more details, and I'm very quickly going to do them for you. Firstly, she had suffered many things from many physicians. This is Mark chapter 5, verse 26. I'm not going to get into this, but I can't think of many more conditions maybe that would be more intrusive and more embarrassing and more than this situation. And it says, and she had suffered many things, especially from men. You know, so this poor woman had her share. And listen to this one, Matthew 5, 26 again. She spent all she had. Listen, as long as you've got money, there's always someone out there who you can go to or will offer you something. This poor woman had run out of money. She had spent all her money. It goes on. In fact, she got no better, but rather grew worse. Mark chapter 5, verse 26. So now hang on. She'd suffered many things. She'd spent everything. And she still ain't getting better. And next one says, Luke 4, 8 and 43, could not be healed by any. This condition is now, if not terminal, incurable. Could not be healed by any. And they had some great remedies. I actually looked some of these up. Like, boom! A sudden fright. That's what I said. There's some better ones than that. Hang on, what have I got? I've got some real good ones. A sudden fright. Where are they? Oh, here. Herbal remedies. Even now, isn't it? Oh, you can buy royal jelly or whatever, and it's going to cure everything. Herbal remedies. Mother Earth. It's all very New Agey, you know. Sudden fright. Burning grapevine leaves. Going to Holland and Barrett, so excuse me, have you got any grapevine leaves? And the last one, which I still haven't worked out what it's supposed to mean, is you had to sit over a certain sort of ditch. I'll leave you to imagine that, but somehow or another you had to sit over a certain sort of ditch, and this was going to be a futile man's effort sometimes, really. But if you're desperate enough, let's be honest, if you are desperate, I've seen people buy all sorts of stuff, do all sorts of stuff. There's an old online industry, let's be honest, that will sell you something for something. If you say you've got a twitching left finger, you know, I'm sure you could go online and find a remedy for a twitching left finger. Especially from America, usually. Anyway, moving on. Moving on, there are some other things that we should consider. Firstly, the woman's physical condition. If she's going to be anemic, if she has lost this much blood for 12 years, the poor thing is going to be anemic. So there are physical conditions. financial conditions. Listen to this one, where it says, Luke chapter 8, verse 43 says this, she spent all her livelihood. Now, I've read that again and again, and I didn't know what a livelihood was. It means more than spending all you've got. The word is bios, B-I-O-S, and it means to spend her life. And if you want the good definition, her present state of existence. She had absolutely nothing. Thirdly, socially, don't forget, if you've got this condition, the book of Leviticus clearly teaches us that she is now classed as unclean. Leviticus 25. So socially, no one can sit where you sit. You cannot touch anybody, and nobody can touch you. Now, it is a proven fact that touch is one of the neediest human requirements. In fact, they did some tests once. I was led to believe where certain babies were left uncared for in the sense of touch, and they did not do as well as those that were cared for and looked after and so on and so forth. We need to be touched. We need interaction. Imagine this woman now. She is a social outcast. Her husband cannot have any physical contact with her, so she's probably divorced because she's deemed to be unclean. Her children just can't come and hang out at a birthday party. Grandbabies can't sit on your lap because they now become unclean. See, you need to get the nuance of this lady. It's not just she had a problem, but this problem affected every area of her being. Her very fabric. Mentally, well, come to her mental condition next. Religiously, don't forget, you're looking now at a Jewish culture, which is so much built around synagogue, so much built around the gathering of people. She cannot go to the house of the Lord. And lastly, I'll leave you to work this one out, her mental condition, 12 years. Physically, emotionally, socially, financially, religiously, mentally, this woman has got an issue. Because, as I say, we just read that and so glibly go over it. But I think sometimes we do well to get into the story to see the person. Because it's you and me. And sometimes we become so passive that we do not press through and get hold of what God's got for us. We just sit there and say, oh, that's nice. And that's why I told you that story about that man who came to the altar, that woman who ran. She just got hold of it and done it. And God met with her. And we need to be those today who make our mind up that we're just going to press through. But light shines in the darkness. Mark chapter 5 and verse 27 said this, and when she heard about Jesus. Now, if you'll allow me, I want to just have a little bit of poetical license, because I can, I'm preaching. Can you imagine her sitting in her doorway because she can't go out, and suddenly someone comes walking down the road, and she thinks, I know her, but something's changed. Ah, here's Mrs. Bernstein. Mrs. Bernstein, what's happened? You used to be bent over. Well, yeah, there was this miracle worker from Galilee who came to the synagogue. And I straightened up. And all of a sudden, Mr. Goldberg, you're not got the stick no more and the sunglasses, and you're not tapping your way down the road. What's going on there? Well, do you know what? This bloke called Jesus spat in the ground, made a paste, stuck it on my eyes, told me to go to the pool of Siloam, and look. And so on and so on. It says, and when she heard about Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, and is it around about verse 43? And at twilight, they brought to him all who were oppressed of the sick, demon-possessed and sick. And he cast out the devils with a word and healed them all. Acts 10 and 38, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Suddenly now the word gets out. I've got a few more scriptures for you. Matthew 8:16, where it'll come at twilight. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Matthew 8:16 says, and he healed them all and cast out devils. That might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And this is a reference to Isaiah 53, where he surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. If you look at it, it actually says, surely has borne our sicknesses and our diseases. And that's what it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. So she heard about Jesus. Listen to this one. I like this one. I thought I'd put it in. Matthew 11 and 3. John the Baptist says, are you the one? Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or shall we look for another? Jesus says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the poor have the good news preached to them. What's that? Fulfillment of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is now upon me because he's anointed me to heal the sick, and so on and so forth. Recover the sight of the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus, as the Messiah, is fulfilling this role. Now listen. If you're a good Jewish person, suddenly you hear this brother's doing it, and this brother's doing it, he's the Messiah. What's it say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, one of my favourite scriptures? Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When she heard about Jesus. My friend, people sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and hear about Jesus. But you know what? Hebrews, the end of chapter 3, it says, it did them no good because it was not mixed with faith. You can hear, and you can hear, and you can hear. But it's only when you apprehend it by faith and do something about it that it becomes yours. For it says about this woman, not only did she hear, but she said something. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole. Prop. Look at this. For those of you who like this sort of stuff, this is a tallit. And what we need to get is on these four corners. These are called zitzits. Right, that's what you need to remember. Z-I-T, Z-I-T. And on the zitzit, there are a series of loops and knots. Alright? This isn't a very good one. This is supposed to have a blue thread in it. There's a cheap one, it's a church. Now, lesson of the day, and then I'll get back to the preacher. Hebrew alphabet has a numerical value. Each letter has a numerical value. Because I don't know Hebrew, A is 1, B is 2. Yeah. So, this series of knots and wings spell out the numerical. Another proper one, it would spell out Yahweh Ishad. The Lord is one. Hence, when a Jewish person puts on his tallit, this isn't a very good one. I'll explain why in a minute. He will be a great machine. Hear, O Israel. What's the first time? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. You shall love the Lord your God. And he will wrap it with justice. You shall love the Lord your God. Mind, soul, and strength. Now, the reason I said this isn't a very good one is this, because the original ones, up to about the Middle Ages, were like a puncher. And they would put it on and the four corners would hang down. Remember Jesus tells a parable about the Pharisees who loved to have their long tassels hanging down the four corners. So she's saying this, listen, if I can but touch my dear Holy Spirit, Lord, my God, I've got a camera. If I can but lay hold of my camera, I'm going to get all the answers. Exodus 15, 26 as well. I am the Lord and He is. And she's not laying hold of some. See, you get kind of like this stupid idea that she just wants to grab hold of the bottom of his skirt. It's like, I may lay hold of God. I may lay hold of the promise keeping, covenant keeping, almighty, all powerful God. So she just is settled for, oh, that's nice. I'm glad to see you getting it down. She said, I'm going to get something back. I am going to lay hold of what God has got for me. And part of that, and she said, the problem for that is this. Proverbs 18 says, life and death are well. In fact, I've got that wrong. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And how's that finish? And those who love it shall eat its fruit. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. Our mouth has a power we do not understand, but we understand this, that death and life are somehow or another associated with this. And we can speak words of death, and we can speak words of life. My marriage is useless. My wife is useless. My wife can't cook. My wife, you need to. You are. Blah, blah. And then we wonder why we've got problems. I don't know why she left me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. I'm going to tell you something now, I'm just going to embarrass my wife. There isn't a day I don't tell her a good woman she is. Don't get what you think, right? What? You shape your word. By faith we understand the world was formed by the word. You form your word well by what you say. I don't think I can make it. Surprise is surprise. I don't think I enjoyed the church today. Surprise is surprise. You didn't get it. No. What you say is what you get. I don't understand why nobody likes me. I don't see why nobody likes you. It's you. I'm just an obnoxious person. You're going to listen to yourself. Oh, did I say that? That's the other church, not here, you're right. But if we're not careful, you see, we just talk it up. Oh, we're only a small group. Now, that's subject to change. I don't feel better. At this point of time, who cares about your feelings? You're going to get better. Because the Bible says you shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. What is recovery? The process of getting better. Where I am now is not where I'm going to end up tomorrow. What if it don't work? Good, you'll die, go to heaven. Let's not mess around. Why would you die now? You'll show up if you just don't want. There's got to come a place where we start saying what we believe. And we start believing, I believe and therefore I spoke. The word of faith is nighly, yea, even in thy mouth. We need to start speaking that Grace Community Church is growing church, is a prosperous church. The needs are met, the bills are paid, the pastor's salary's met. We're growing, the children's workers are coming. Otherwise, let's pack up. If it's just a hurly huddle in some corner, let's not bother. You think I have to drive all the way out? I've got great expectations. Yeah, so have you. Praise God. Then we now to start speaking. Don't you sometimes just think? No, you don't. But sometimes. The Bible says lay hands on someone, that, not speedily, doesn't it? But sometimes you just think, oh, why don't you just hush up? Hush your mouth, putting it nicely. Moving on. So she said something, but then she did something. No. See, when all is said and done, more is said than done. She did something. Faith often causes something, calls us to do something. And this is, I've got to talk about money. Sometimes we want a financial harvest and sow a seed. Be careful. These people are always asking, oh, we're a good mission, sow a seed. No, the Spirit come and tell you where I want to. But you want a harvest, sow a seed. You want to be loved. What's this say? To receive mercy, show mercy. To be forgiven, forgive. Do something, get something. And well, when I've got it, I'll do it. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says do something, then you get it. Yeah, but and yeah, my wife and I have had some really lean times. And God's been faithful in those. So in the lean times, you might not be able to do that. But you can cook a sponge or something. I can't. But, you know, you can do something with it. All right, yeah, I can. What about this one? So there's this woman who's so hard up that she's out getting sticks. She's going to cook her last meal and die. Happy person. The prophet of God comes up and says, cook me dinner. She says, listen, I'm just getting a few sticks. Then me and the boy are going to have a nice meal and then we're going to die. That's what she says. Full of better sort of people, yeah. And the prophet of God says, listen, make me a cake first. How selfish. How piggish. Feed me, you can die. What he's saying is, sow something to get something. And I'm not just, well, whatever. Because it works in marriage as well. We can hit a lot of bases. In marriage, okay, you look good. You smell nice. What's that cost you? Nothing. What's my wife been doing? I get to get a giggle. It's made her day. What's it cost me? You frame your world by the words that you speak. Ah, God, look, I've got all the way down here. Faith and action. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James 2:12. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20, and I'm really quickly getting there now. She presses through the crowd. Hang on, let's get all the way back now. Because this is weak woman. So don't forget, first in the sight of Jesus being thronged. I like rugby scrub. Everybody wants her. There's this weak woman who's not allowed out. If she gets caught, she is in deep, deep trouble, touching every man. Unclean, coming through, make way. It says, and coming through the press. You see, faith and action go together. She could have sat at home and said, come by. But she did something, and we need to do something sometimes. Sometimes, you know, we're not going to do it today. And then we'll have a healing line. And what are you here for? I don't know. Maybe it might be my lucky day. Or maybe God might. I used to have a friend who was a healing evangelist, and he used to say to people when they come forward, "What are you here for?" He said, "One day this woman come forward with a club, big club foot." And he said, "So what are you here for?" "I'm here to be healed." "When are you going to be healed?" "When you lay a hand on me." He said, "Lay the hand on her before you can say hello, so it's done." She's off running, trying to get the shoe off. Faith in action, faith in action, faith in action. Same as speaking in tongues. That's how it goes. They spoke, the Spirit gave them the utterance. They did something. Faith in action. Anyway, back to this. She came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Listen, why did she come up behind him? This holy man, this prophet of God, the Messiah, suddenly, "I'm unclean," and she comes up behind him. Now you need to read the rest of the story, because Jesus turns round. Suddenly Jesus turns around in the crowd and says the strangest thing. "Who touched me?" Peter, I'm sure Peter. What says that? I don't quite know how to say it. But we are in a throng crowd. And then everybody's pressing into something. And you turn around and say this. And Jesus turns around and says this. No, this is a different touch. This woman made it. This woman laid hold of her cup. And she said, "You have said. And I believe what you've said." And it says, "For I perceive that virtue and power in her." And then the woman coming up, I've got to do this for you because the time's running out. Testifies, doesn't she? She tells everybody. Well, first she perceives her own being, she knows. Then she tells everybody. You have to allow me 2 minutes just to finish this up, because this is probably the sweetest bit of the story. But Jesus then looks at this woman and out comes and everything out. And Jesus is probably the most sweetest word that you can use. Daughter. We don't say woman. We don't say weird. It's the softest term you can use. Daughter. Take you back to a woman who's bent over. Should not this daughter of Abraham, who's been here sick and dying years before, daughter, we are children of covenant. We are children of promise. This is our right. She made a demand of her covenant rights. We need to do it a lot more often. Daughter, says Jesus to her, be of good cheer. Hey, you, cheer up. I've not got time for this. Be of good cheer. What's he saying? This woman now has been wrecked. Let's judge it. Jesus said, "Daughter, cheer up." I just love the way he loves me. He's just got that way of, either do I condemn you? Don't say that. He's just got that way, either alone, material, as he's supposed to preach about the world, this woman will have a testimony. Again and again, Jesus kind of comforts the person in the middle of the problem. Be of good cheer. Why? Your faith has made you well. Last one. Love and peace. It's nice to say people in the private infirmity, but love and peace is not nice. All the conflict, all the pain, all the shame, all the disappointment, all the hurt, all the rejection, all the time she's cried, all the time she's just poured out before God. And I want to say to you today, Jesus is the same, Hebrews 13:8, yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. He's still there for those who will press through to lay hold of him. And yeah, I know, for sick people, I've done that before. Can I just say to you, do it until you get it. Yeah, I know a lot. We shall weaken to season if we do not faint. If we do not grow tired in well doing. Keep pushing. So sometimes you have to push through our own pains. Sometimes we have to push through our hurts and our pains. Sometimes we just have to push through. How long? Until you get it. How long will that be when you get it? Yeah, some people you push through, don't you? Oh, they're off and around the room and you're having a great time. Everyone's boop boop. Other people go away. You know, get a touch there and they lose it. They come back and get a touch again and they lose it. You just keep with them until they get through. Other people. It's a process. Let me give you a scripture to ponder on. Mark 16 says this. You shall lay your hands on the sheep and they shall recover. It's verses 7. Recovery is a process. It's getting back what you formerly had. And for some people, it's a process. Well, I don't feel better. Firstly, you lay hold of his hand. So you can't get it back. Then you lose it. Sometimes it's a seed. Sometimes you have to walk. Bless you. You're up coming, you can go to the camera, you know, I'm standing. Until it manifests, I'm standing here with you. How long will that be? Until it happens. I can't give you a quick fix. Preachers should do that in their lives. You're taking me back to that with you. I know this. Jesus is saying. Yes. In the middle of the busy schedule, he's off to be judged at all. Yes, I guess. In the middle of the busy schedule, should we stand in his presence? My poor wife, but usually if I was going to preach something, I have a song for it, so I'm not going to sing it to you. But she's been subjected to an old song. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. It's passing by this moment and the need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Mine knows him. And I would be amiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to do something for you. Why don't you right this moment just reach out to the Lord, tell him your heart. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Tell him, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I've just kept on keeping on, and I will keep on keeping on. But Lord, I believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that you will heal me, so I might be more effective, that I might live a fuller, richer life and fulfill the purposes you've got for me. Lord, if you don't heal me, that's fine, but I want what you've got for me. I want your best. And your best is that I serve you to the my maximum. So whatever that means, I come before you now and just ask, look, here's your servant. Lord, touch me. Touch my body, touch my soul, touch my spirit, and make me whole. Lord, for you are God. Come on, right where you are, just enjoy it. Just push. He's here. The Bible says in Psalm 107:20, he sent a word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. I have brought a word today and I know God has spoken to your heart. So just reach out. But I don't want you just to say, oh, that was nice today. I want this to be something that is sealed in our heart. That I am going to be that woman. I am going to press through. I'm going to apprehend that which God in Christ apprehended in me. I'm going to lay hold of that which Christ has won for me at Calvary. I don't want to sing the songs. I want to be the substance of what I sing. I want to enjoy all that God has won for me at Calvary. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Let's continue, Pastor.